Residents in Caracas woke up this morning to these sounds in the wake of attacks in the Venezuelan capital. Well, now, for the latest on those extraordinary strikes this morning in Venezuela, I'm joined by a man who has reported from over 120 countries. That's Chief Diplomatic Correspondent at the New York Times, Stephen Erlinger. Stephen, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's interesting. This morning, your colleague, just after about 4:30 a.m., Tyler Pager, called the U.S. president. This was just minutes after Donald Trump had announced that the United States had captured Nicolas Maduro and his wife. Your colleague said, "I'd call the president to try and better understand what happened and what comes next." He picked up after three rings and answered a few questions. It was a call that lasted 50 seconds, but a story that it carries huge significance this morning, Stephen.
Yes, it does. I mean, all Trump said, he was very proud of himself, that it was a lot of good planning and a lot of great troops and great people. He called it brilliant. I think what they're going to do is, as they did with the dictator of Panama, Noriega, in 1989, is bring Maduro and his wife to the United States and put them on trial for drug running and pretend it's all about criminal activity and not about a coup d'etat.
Absolutely. And look, but, you know, the abduction of a foreign head of a state is hugely significant. Is it, Stephen, about drugs, as President Trump has repeatedly claimed, or is this more about the question of oil? And that's in circumstances where the majority of cocaine in the region comes actually from Colombia, Peru or Bolivia.
Well, you're quite right. I mean, those are very serious questions, and many people have them, and I have them too. Maduro's been a pain in the neck to the Americans for a long time, as his predecessor Chavez was before him. He's stolen elections, and people have left the country, many migrants coming to the United States. Trump's very much against that, too. I think Trump has been pushing very hard to have more control over the Western Hemisphere. It fits his politics in the sense that it's anti-drug and it's anti-migrants. But there will be a lot of questions, including in the American Congress, about under what authorization he did this and whether it's legal. And what's going to happen? Our sense is that there will be no invasion of Venezuela. This was all about Maduro. In 89, the Americans actually invaded Panama and took out Noriega. This sounds more like a big raid, and with no intention of taking over Venezuela. But the question is then who runs Venezuela? There's a vice president, Delcy Rodriguez, who would officially take charge, but one big opposition leader just won the Nobel Peace Prize,
Maria Machado.
And
that was just a few months ago. She acknowledged Trump at the time. How do you think the opposition in Venezuela will handle this attack? Like, I mean, obviously we just heard that, you know, the streets of Caracas, I think it's 5 hours behind us here in Ireland, you know, quiet, obviously still in the early hours of the morning. But how do you think the opposition will handle this attack?
Well, another very good question. It's too early to know. I mean, there is another candidate that the opposition says really won the election. The big question is whether what's left of the Maduro administration cracks down on the opposition. They've been very, very good at internal security in a very harsh way. And the big question always will be, as it was, let's say, with Milosevic in Serbia, will the system hold together or will the system crack apart once the boss is gone?
Yeah, it's a key question. And can I ask you, can I bring you back, Stephen, just to what you were saying earlier, maybe about part of a wider, you know, geopolitical strategy? Iran has issued a statement, but Venezuela has also been long an ally of Russia. Will the Kremlin see this this strike, this raid and the, I suppose, the removal of Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores, as an attack on their interests?
Well, what they may do is say, you see, what he did there, we're doing in Ukraine. They, you know, the Russians are very good at whataboutism. I think, you know, Maduro's relationship with Russia was because basically it was anti-American. And Venezuela has a lot of oil. I mean, it's huge.
The largest oil reserves in the world.
Amounts of oil. Yeah, and it's very nice oil, too. It's not heavy stuff. It's sort of very good quality oil. So, you know, raising the question of who's going to be in charge of the oil, I mean, there have been American companies involved with Venezuela, some of which have been pushed out of Venezuela. Maybe they'll come back in. There, with Trump, there always seems to be some kind of commercial motivation.
Yeah, and a reality to that. Do you think that Vladimir Putin will take this as a green light if one were required that the international rules-based order is over? You know, is that notion that great powers can act with impunity in their own backyards, as you know, is there also a potential shift there?
Well, I think Vladimir Putin decided that 4 years ago or even before, so I don't think this will change his mind to any significant degree. What it may do is further dispirit traditional American allies in Western Europe and elsewhere.
Have we any sense, I know it's still early this morning, of how Europe is acting or reacting?
I don't know, really. I mean, it's early here on Saturday. As you know, Trump gives a press conference at 11 in the morning American time, which I think would be 4 p.m. for you guys. And then we'll find out more. I'm sure there will be reaction, but at the moment, on January 3rd, on a Saturday, I haven't seen very much yet.
Some are already comparing this, Stephen Erlanger, to, you know, the capture of Saddam Hussein or the killing of Osama bin Laden. Do you think this could be a divisive or a unifying moment for the United States?
I don't think it will have that big an impact. To be honest, again, the comparison, I mean, Saddam was a whole invasion. That was a big war. This is not. I think the better parallel is to Manuel Noriega, who was in American sights for a long time and was running drugs and was a dictator right in Panama, very close to Venezuela. And the Americans actually invaded Panama in 89 and arrested him, brought him to the United States on drug charges. He was then extradited to France and then finally to Panama, where he was put on trial and jailed again and died in a Panamanian jail. So I think that's a better parallel, to be honest.
I think there are it's so many news lines and everything still being, I suppose, captured and analysed. But Stephen Erlanger, Chief Diplomatic Correspondent for The New York Times, thank you for joining us this morning. So welcome back. Just we're going to go to an update on that remarkable story with the removal of the Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife by the US. The US Attorney General Pam Bondi says that Nicolas Maduro and his wife Celia Flores have been indicted in the Southern District of New York. She added on the social platform X, they will soon face the full wrath of American justice on American soil in American courts. It is an incredibly fast moving story, and I have David Blevins from Sky News joining us from Washington. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Dervalar. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon for us. An early morning start for you. Maybe just bring us up to date on what's been happening since we came on air at 11 o'clock this morning.
Yes, it has been a long night here in the United States. We were wakened at around 2 a.m. By reports of 7 explosions in Caracas, Venezuela, and surrounding provinces. And then very quickly, President Trump posted, not from the Situation Room at the White House, but from his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, where he's still on holiday, that the U.S. had carried out a large-scale strike on Venezuela. That surprise no one. It's something we'd been anticipating for weeks. But what did surprise us was his announcement that they had captured, that's Donald Trump's word, the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, and his wife, and that they'd been flown out of the country.
Look, it is remarkable. It's like something out of a movie. I loved his 50-second call with the New York Times, which he constantly refers to as the feeling New York Times. But more seriously, it is a strike on a foreign power, David Blevins, with no authorization from Congress. And I suppose that the language matters, a strike rather than an invasion. Will that open him up to criticism, or will it be a unifying moment, particularly because his MAGA base, you know, they wanted him to put America first and to stop entanglements in overseas conflicts?
It does open him up to criticism, Dervla, but criticism rolls off Donald Trump's back quite easily, it would seem. He's never been very concerned about claims he's breaching international law by bombing what he alleges to be drug trafficking boats crossing the Caribbean or the Eastern Pacific in recent months. And his administration has always claimed this is about drug trafficking. But of course, many people have always suspected that it's more about regime change, and that appears to be what he is managing to bring about here, be it legally or illegally, and also about the US perhaps getting its hands on Venezuela's vast oil reserves. But it is still a very, very fluid picture this morning, because the opposition sources in Venezuela are telling us that Maduro's removal is something that was negotiated. Now, do bear in mind, President Trump recently offered him safe passage out if he decided to step down. But that is at odds, that claim, with Pam Bondi, the US Attorney General, telling us that Maduro and his wife have been indicted on drug trafficking charges, because that does not sound like a negotiated exit to me.
Or is it the case that Trump didn't like the shade of the earlier negotiations and decided to trigger that sort of nuclear option for him? Can you tell us, David Blevins, just, you know, we kind of know, because President Trump has said as much, that he doesn't believe in fighting wars for democracy and human rights. Do you think the real motivation is that it is regime change, and it is accessing those huge oil reserves? You know, even this morning, the Irish Times, a little Irish connection, reporting on a sanctioned ship that has now taken up a Russian registration. You know, this is having impacts all over the world.
Dervla, if the ultimate goal was regime change, well, to some extent he has removed the leader, it would seem, of Venezuela. But the regime this morning remains very much intact. We've heard from the vice president, we've heard from the defense minister, we've heard from the interior minister. They're describing this as a US act of aggression. They've declared a national emergency, and they're expressing their concern for the welfare of Maduro. They say they don't know where he is and they want proof of life. The other big concern, of course, is the geopolitical impact, because we know that Russia and China and Iran have all lined up to express solidarity with Venezuela in the past. And there is that important issue you touched on a moment ago. What does it mean domestically? We are in midterm election year now, and Donald Trump was re-elected just over a year ago on a platform of putting America first. And since he's returned to the White House, most of the first year of his second term has been dominated by foreign affairs.
And obviously, significantly, he didn't seek the authorization of Congress beforehand. Perhaps not the first US president to do that, but how is the US political, I suppose, body waking up to the news this morning?
Well, they're shocked, really, by the news that Maduro has been taken into custody, it would seem. We're due to hear from President Trump at around 4 p.m. your time. He says he'll host a media conference from Mar-a-Lago at that stage. I very much suspect he will continue to attempt, at least, to justify this politically and legally as the thwarting of a drug trafficking operation. He has always claimed that Nicolas Maduro is head of a drug cartel, for example, and that may be what he then takes to Congress in due course if he decides there is need for further military action. Right now, his Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, says there is no need for further military intervention. They think they've their job done. But of course, much is going to be dictated by what happens on the ground in Venezuela in the coming hours. How does the military there react? How do the people there react?
And of course, when all of this is happening, we're not talking about the cost of living or affordability, but we'll have to come back to you another time on those broader implications. But for now, David Blevins, Sky News in Washington, thank you for joining us, and we'll take a quick break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.